This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It is not an overreaction Monday or a Monday overreaction. I don't know why I'm still messing that up. It's a Tuesday overreaction show. I'm Jeff Ketchum, joined by Anwar Richardson. We want to do a podcast. We didn't even think about it yesterday, or at least I didn't, if we're being completely honest, or at least if I am. But Anwar, you hit me up. Do you want to do a podcast? I said, yes, here we are. Let's react to some stuff. And we got a little bit of news.
Yeah, so, you know, so it's the overreaction-ish, drunk uncle-ish. let's do something because we're in the holiday mode and we've got kids at home. You know, catch things to, when you got the kids at home during this week, man, I don't know if I sent those teachers enough presents, you know, just like how they do it.
My mom's going to watch the kids tonight and I need it so bad because my mom stayed at her house last week.
Oh,
she had mold. Yeah. She has an apartment and she had mold in her apartment. So they had to take the entire kitchen out, which meant that at the drop of a dime, my mom was here like Monday through Friday.
Yes.
And by the end, you know,
she was just ready for mom to go home.
and right as she's leaving, the kids are then on Christmas vacation.
Oh yeah, so yeah, you need a break. When you need Heather to take the kids to Houston.
No, I just need my mom to watch the kids. I just need a night.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get so I'm on daddy duty this week, right? So I got the boys, and you know I got a little one sleeping, and I am just so ready for Christmas where I can just like y'all just go somewhere. It's just not, and the little one, he is fired. I mean, he's all the way live. Like you haven't seen Titan. You've seen Max is more chill. Titan is just fiery. So I like you. I mean, like right now he's got nap time. I'm enjoying that. And damn it, man, no shame in my game. Those melatonin gummies at night.
Boy, are those full of weed? What are those, THC? What's in those?
It's some HEB. And all I can tell you is, if you need those kids to go to sleep, catch right around. Now, mine's a younger, but you know, give them about one of those little gummies. I tell them it's vitamins. My son thinking in the little, he thinks it's vitamins. Oh yeah, it's vitamins.
Well, I haven't been sleeping well. Can I eat an entire bag and sleep through the night? What will happen?
You'll be fine. You'll be absolutely. You'll be fine. But for the kids, you have some parents going to swear to you on this melatonin stuff, man. And yeah, it is life. So, but yeah. So okay. So back to the overreaction.
I was going to say, DeMarvion Overshown.
As I'm talking about drugging my kids till they go to sleep.
Hey, that was like drug me, man. I need a good nap. DeMarvion Overshown is coming back for another year, and it's a little, let me just say from the very beginning, Anwar, before we jump into like DeMarvion as a player and all that, his situation is really unique, and I don't want to dive into it on a huge level because it's none of our business, but it seems, based on the fact that DeMarvion was one of the last guys that showed up to report last year, maybe the last, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong,
I think he might have been the last,
you know, and everybody else showed up for summer workouts. Like he was one of the last guys to arrive, you know, it's his personal space, but like he's all these kids have lives and there were dynamics in play that led a lot of people to believe that DeMarvion Overshown might go pro because there's some urgency potentially in just getting paid to do this thing that he doesn't get paid for. And some kids have different situations than others. I think there at one point there would have definitely been an anticipation that of all the guys that are turning pro that he might have been in that group. It's a little uncomfortable that like DeMarvion is this on top of all the added pressure that he carries with him just in general, like living his life. His space has become kind of public information, which seems unfair. But I gotta say, I think he made the right decision. I'm glad you and I are able to do a podcast where DeMarvion Overshown is able to make a decision about his future that doesn't feel forced because of outside events. And I believe that this will work. I think this is the best thing that he could do. And I think that he's literally on the cusp of becoming a great player for Texas and the kind of a guy that can be a legit NFL high-end prospect. But he needs to be in the oven a little longer, to steal a Charlieism. And my overreaction to this today was smart decision. Glad he can do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the guy that, you know, guys declare for different reasons. Some guys declare because they're just tired of school. Other people feel the pressure of the, you know, financials of like having to take care of the household. And so I think those usually like the, you know, the big thing. And of course, if you're ready, right, those probably like the big three, right? And, you know, and I wasn't quite sure if he would have said the pressure of, okay, man, I'm, you know, we've got things like you said going on, and it's nothing bad. Like, just what we're alluding to is just like not trying to be in someone's personal. So there's nothing bad. There's nothing, whatever, but every household's different. And I wasn't quite sure if he was going to say, man, you know, it's time, you know, it's time to, you know, I'm from a small city and humble beginnings. And you know, there's this carrot that's dangling in front and the catch. I mean, he had such an incredible year that I would not have blamed him, to be quite honest with you. He thought, you know what, I should just go ahead and go for it right now. Just get paid and just go ahead and do this damn thing. And maybe I'm a late round pick or something like that, but at least I'm in the league. And he didn't do that. And we've seen this, you know, obviously with a lot of, you know, Texas players who've decided like, hey, I'm going to go, as you said, to use your phrase, you know, come out that oven a little bit early. And those guys, you know, like Jordan Humphrey, he didn't get drafted. Now he may have caught a touchdown catch, but he's playing on the low. You know what I'm saying? And we could have the debate on, okay, well, how much would his draft stock increase or something like that? Well, I mean, probably would not have decreased, so it could have potentially increased. And you start thinking about guaranteed money from, you know, what you don't get as a guarantee for the most part when you're undrafted to at least a mid rounder. I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at. So for him to be able to look at the situation where he's at and say, you know what, I think another year will benefit me greatly. I'm willing to be in school and do this whole thing and probably come out next year. And you know, if he plays the way that we think he can play, you know, we're talking that, you know, probably a day two player, which by the way is not an insult to say, you know, day one, I mean, you're talking about one of the top 32 people in all of football. So I'm not going to put that pressure on him, but can he be a day two guy?
That's a life changing amount of money if he can get there. Like that's like over, I think it's probably like $1 million signing bonus. I don't know. You know what I mean? And that's just to get to day two. And I think that, you know, the thing is, you and I've seen guys make worse decisions. What I really thought was going to happen to DeMarvion is that he would go pro, probably go undrafted, maybe sneak in someplace, but like he feels like a guy that would stick on a practice squad for a year. And then, you know, and then I think he'd have a chance because he's just in football terms, he's still kind of a baby, right? He looks like one of those kids that you know is going to be 7 feet tall, but in the seventh grade, they have size 17 feet, but they're still only 5'11".
Yes.
And he, in terms of football, like he's just started playing the position ultimately that I think he's going to play potentially for a lot of years at. If his body can hold up and he stays healthy, like I think that this is a guy that's going to play in the NFL for a while. The money's going to be there. There's a chance for him to – because, I think he'd get paid, right? So he could have gone this year. And I think he's a practice squad type of guy. And that means he could have made like 200 grand this year, 200-ish. I don't know what the going rate exactly is for the practice squad, but that's pre-taxes. But he's got a chance for 12 more months. And that maybe 250 can be a guarantee, like 1.5 at a minimum. Like, I mean, I'm you know, I think that he's got a chance to like really turn himself into quite a prospect. So I think he's just starting to get where he can be. I would have understood if he just said, man, I got to go. And 200 sounds real good right about now. There is a little bit of like a who wants to be a millionaire kind of a game here, right? And you get up to like $64,000. and then you can make that next leap up. And sometimes I understand it when people are like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll walk out of here with my 64 and I'm out. I'm not going to take the chance. And he could have done that with his football career. But I think this is, and I think the smart thing is that he can be a practice squad guy next year. So I know that, like, there's a sense of, I don't feel like he, if he's sitting down and having a real conversation with himself, I don't feel like the downside is I'm going to lose something I may never get my hands on. Like, I think he's at a place right now where, dude, if you wait 12 months, that's probably as bad as it'll get. From a long-term security standpoint, 12 more months could really go a long way. Right. And I'm glad that he's going to be, like, I just think from a personal standpoint, I'm glad he's going to stick around. I think it's the best decision they could make. And sometimes those don't get made, man. Sometimes guys have to make the best decision for themselves right this second. And DeMarvion Overshown is betting on himself a little bit, betting on this football program a little bit. And it's a big deal for the football program. He has a chance to be the kind of a player that wins football games. And I don't know that Texas had a ton of those this season. And I wouldn't even say Anwar that he was that yet, but I think he has a chance. He has a chance to be the kind of a guy that at the very least a guy like Malik Jefferson was. I think he can be a first team all Big 12 type of player. And at the end of the year, we look at an entire set of statistics and go, wow, he had sacks and a couple of interceptions and he did a little bit of everything. And that's what that's the value. He is a super versatile dude who can do a lot of things.
So, yeah. So like two things. So as you were talking, I got on a sport track and just to give an example, when we start talking about like life-changing money, okay, second rounder, okay, pick number 33, T. Higgins went to Cincinnati, wide receiver, right? Is contract for your value, for your deal, for $8.6 million, 3.8 signing bonus.
Okay? Yeah, man.
I mean, so that's the top of it. Like, if you go to the last guy who was taken, you know, a safety from Carolina, you're talking about 5.2 for 4 years, a $1.3 million signing bonus. So now if we just go to Brandon Jones, okay, pick number 70 from Miami, four-year deal, 4.8 with a $1.1 million signing bonus. That's third round catch, you know? So that's, and he was picked number 70. Okay. So let's just say he's at the top 100. I'll just do that cutoff, right? Tanner Muse, an outside linebacker from Clemson, a 4 year deal, $4.4 million, but the $832,000 guarantee. Yeah. So, you know, so even if his floor is, hey, you're one in the top 100, you know, that's different. Now, flipping, let's say if he was a sixth rounder, okay, I'm just going to find a random sixth round linebacker. Okay, guy went to Arizona, pick number 202, Evan Weaver, okay? His 4 year deal is worth 3.4, his signing bonus is 167.
Yeah,
like that. You know what I'm saying? You're talking 700 G's, you know, just and then in seventh round, a lot of these guys who are seventh round, I mean, they're at the 100 mark, you know, they're at that 99 mark. But at that point, catch when you're in that, you know, you're getting that 100,000 signing bonus, you ain't getting $100,000. OK, because what happened is your agent fronted you a lot of money. So the car that you bought, you got to pay that back.
Yep.
You know, the training that all these guys go, I train in Miami, I train all these guys, speed trainers, all these other type of things, right? Got to pay for that. And that could be anywhere, you know, for 40,000 or more, your room and board. So you get 100. I mean, you're almost in the hole, to be quite honest with you, to start off with, and you got to pay that stuff back. So it's a good move for him. And just the last thing to echo what you were saying, I think he's a guy that he'll be on more radars catch for NFL teams, and that will help him because it won't be, oh, what, you know, who is this guy? That's but he only had 1 year. What do we make of it? It's going to be, oh, he had two straight years. So that's, I said, that's one. Two, he's a guy that you ends up, I mean, catch, I don't know, but you know, with Joseph Osai gone, I mean, he ends up being the leader of the defense. I mean, he might be the guy that you say that's the guy you lean on because he might end up being the best player on the defense. So it's a good move for him. And one other, I, you know, it's another good move for this. This is a a good thing for Chris Ash. I mean, Chris Ash, you know, you're when you're coming in here and you're trying to rebuild after what happened in Rutgers, what he was able to do with some of these defensive guys was because guys want to be able to say they can go to the league. And what he's been able to do as far as Joseph Osai and putting him in this jack position, and that's a guy that's going to have an NFL a future. Now you look at, of course, Caden Sturm is always going to probably go to the NFL at some point. So that you didn't have to do much there. But then looking what he did with DeMarvion and getting him to this point, where he's like, okay, let's do a position move. And I really believe, Ketch, how many times have you heard stories about coaches that told a guy switch positions because I really think this will help your NFL stock, but really it was just to add depth, and then the guy doesn't get drafted and he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And he said, like, hey, if you switch to a linebacker, I really feel like you're going to have a bright future and be able to play in the NFL. And he went from safety to linebacker. That's another feather in Chris Ash's cap. So, you know, props to him for that talent evaluation, watching film and realizing that he's really got a player that can be an impactful linebacker.
I think DeMarvion Overshown will be the hipsters. He'll be the cool guy in June when everybody starts talking about their favorite college football players to watch, and who's going to be, you know, a guy to keep an eye on, who do NFL guys start to like. I think that, you know, Joseph Osai wasn't a guy. He had the huge bowl game, and that was the thing ultimately that shot him his attention into the stratosphere. And maybe Overshown won't quite have a game like that that puts him on a radar like Osai did, but he's going to be the best. He's the best player on this defense coming back. He is. And he looks like a captain next year. And I don't say that in the seven captain joke. I mean, he's looks like the best player on that defense. And typically your captains are your best players. And I know he won't be a senior next year, but I think we're talking about a guy that, yeah, he's really important for whoever's coaching here. It's funny. I heard you talk about Chris Ash, and it's weird. I was thinking about through the prism of, there are people who listen to this podcast and they won't even want to hear the part about Herman or Ash or anything. Right. And to those people, I would say this is one of the best pieces of football news. They have literally nothing to do with who's the head coaches. Doesn't matter.
Yes, because whoever's here next year, they'll go to one talent, right?
Oh, like whoever is the coach, this is a big deal. So presumably, we're going to get to September, and everybody's going to want Texas to win games and want a big year and break Oklahoma's streak of Big 12 championships and all that kind of stuff. Like, DeMarvion Overshown is the kind of a player that gets Texas closer to that end point than they sure as hell would be without him. And it's just one less thing that the 2021 Longhorns have to figure out, and that's replacing DeMarvion Overshown. I don't know, you know, him leaving is a little bit like Osai leaving. You start looking around, it's not as easy as like, oh, well, they'll just put the next Overshown in. That's one of the things about recruiting that we've been talking about, is that, you know, there are certain areas of this team where Texas just hasn't recruited well enough at, and it puts you in a position where you start talking about Osai, and it's like, oh, well, maybe Jatavion Sanders comes in as a true freshman and can give you something there. Because the only other, I mean, the backup pass, and I know Marquez Bimage is scheduled to come back. I don't know what that even means. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe it means the world. Maybe he's just going to be a guy like they've had from him in the last few seasons, and you don't have Jett Bush. And so you take Overshown out of the mix, and suddenly you start having question marks about that position, regardless of who's coaching next year. Him coming back, that's just one less problem. In a world where this program's got some problems that it needs to figure out on a lot of different levels, but certainly personnel-wise, they don't have another DeMarvion Overshown in the program, so that he comes back for another year. I don't think you can overreact to that. I think on an overreaction Tuesday, so it's a good overreaction to have, is that what's probably an indispensable piece of the defense returns. And that's just something that Chris Asher, whoever in the hell's coaching this team next year, they won't have to worry about that. DeMarvion Overshown gives them a strength to lean on, and that's a win.
So I have a question for you, Ketch.
Yes.
I've been pondering this since the weekend, because we've heard you know, we've seen Denzel Okafor has decided that he's going to come back, and Cade Brewer has decided that he's coming back, which I'm okay with as long as it doesn't impede on Jared Wiley getting some more playing time, because Jared Wiley, I think, is a stud. And, you know, we've seen other guys coming back. And so here's my question for you, Ketch. It's my million-dollar question. Should Sam Ehlinger come back?
No.
Really?
No, he shouldn't come back.
You and I are going to so disagree on this.
Okay, well, I mean, whose perspective are we looking at this from?
I'm looking at it from Sam's perspective.
I don't think his draft stock can get an ounce better than it's already. I think Sam Ehlinger is who Sam Ehlinger is.
I don't
care who coaches here.
You don't think if he had an off season where he got to work with his guys?
I don't.
An off season where he's throwing like normal, right?
How many games has Sam Ehlinger played in his Texas career? Like 45, something like that.
I don't know the number because the freshman year.
I feel like the sample size with Sam Ehlinger, he is a 150-ish quarterback. Period.
Sam, so what? Explain to me your thought process behind his sophomore year. The guy set a Big 12 record for not throwing interceptions. And so there was a certain degree of accuracy that we did see. Are you saying that was the anomaly?
I'm saying he's never had a quarterback rating higher than 151. Sophomore, junior, senior. Sam Ehlinger is an excellent college football player. And if you ask me from a Texas standpoint, should Texas want Sam Ehlinger to come back? Yes. Yes. If Tom Herman could get another, this probably falls into a bird in hand is worth two in the bush, right? So I don't know what Hudson Card is. I feel like Hudson Card's upside is higher than Sam Ellinger's as a passer, but Baker Mayfield had like a 120 quarterback rating, I think, his first year at Oklahoma. Like, and you go back to the last year that Oklahoma didn't win a Big 12 championship. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Baker's first year and they were breaking him in. And, you know, eventually he got really good. And Kyler Murray, when he was at Texas A&M, like his first year of play, he wasn't all that good. Nobody would have thought, oh, well, he's going to turn it. Everybody knew what he did in high school, but then he came to college and didn't quite look the same. When he went to Oklahoma, nobody was saying absolutely, well, he'll win Heisman. That's just not what anybody was saying. So I think Hudson Card has to break himself into a certain degree. And maybe that means you get like a 130 year, which means you're probably going 7-5 in a 12 game season. And Tom Herman loses his job. So Sam is a guarantee on the box, but I don't think Sam's capable much. I mean, I think we know what Sam is as a college football player. And I don't think another year with Yurcich and continuity, I just don't think that changes. I think he is an excellent college football player, but from what I know of Sam Ehlinger and from what people tell me that know him, is that he's ready, that he feels confident about his NFL stock. Now, you and I know how the game works. And we know how the game's played. And we know it gets whispered into these kids' ears. And so I don't have any doubt that he's hearing a lot of that. And I don't even care if it's true or not. What I've heard about him is that he believes his NFL stock is better than anybody on Orange Bloods would think it is. And he's ready to go check that out. And I think after this season, I think he's, I also have a little bit of appreciation for what this year must have been like for him. So if I was Sam Ehlinger, I'd want to get the hell out of Dodge.
Do you want this to be your legacy though? Do you want this to be your legacy? I get the NFL. Listen, I get the NFL portion of it, right? This is, you know, I totally get wanting to go pro and, you know, all those things that are involved in that. But, is there any part that says, okay, hey, I don't want this to be my legacy. I don't want it to be, you know, I did, you know, I was
one. What changes that?
Well, I mean, what changes it is, I mean, winning a Big 12 championship, finishing 10-2 potentially, not having your biggest highlight being your sophomore year and screaming we're back on the Sugar Bowl stage. And that was it. That was it. That was the highlight. That was the highlight of everything. And, you know, he went to the, well, you know, this year.
Do you think he's had fun this year? I mean, this is a completely unrelated question.
I can't imagine he's had fun. No.
See, I think that's part of the deal. Like at the end of the day, if the question was, should he run it back because he enjoys being the quarterback at Texas, I probably have a different answer. So I could talk myself into all his friends are still here. He never redshirted. So maybe he still has to, you know, maybe he's got to finish a degree. Like there are things I could hear. And at the end of it was like, he just loves being in college. I mean, cool. Right. I mean, that was my response to Denzel Okafor. Everybody was like, why? You're not playing it. At the end of the day, I thought maybe this dude just loves being a college football player. I can't begrudge him that. If that, hey, I was in college longer. I didn't even get my degree and I was in longer than 4 years. So, yeah. You know, I'm not going to begrudge a guy for being on the Tommy Boy plan. It's got to be infinitely better than most of the years these guys will ever live for the rest of their lives. And you might get to go out to a bar and you're fine. You know what I mean? Run it back and like give yourself the senior year that you thought you. I can be talked into that. I think it's been on a scale of 1 to 10 for Sam. I don't know what he would say. It couldn't have been fun. None of this could be fun. And it would be a hard, I have to believe, if the guy wants to go, it'd be just as a friend, like if I was one of his boys and I was like, hey, any thought to coming back? I'd have a hard time probably asking him that question, knowing that the response probably has an F word in it, that he's just not having fun and that there may be some relief. And if I'm wrong at all, then my answer changes. If I'm just way off base and Sam's like, Jeff, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, this is badass. And for all of the stuff that you guys write about and the eyes of Texas and all that shit, like I have a great time. And I can be talked easily into a yes. I don't know though. Part of me wonders if he's honestly asking himself that question. Does he honestly believe that this team's ready, minus what just left, to compete for a Big 12 championship? And maybe the answer to that is yes. Maybe. But maybe the answer to that is, I don't know if this group's going to be. He knows more than we do. He knows what's on that scout team. He knows he's played for a. He knows. So maybe he thinks, man, we're right there, and I think we can do it. Or maybe he's miserable and wants to get the hell out of here. And I don't know. Like Sam wouldn't ever open himself up that way to us in a way. And quite honestly, like, you know, I hear from people, like, he didn't even have, like, an active family. You know what I mean? Like, we know players whose dads will talk and whose moms will talk and who have brothers that talk. And, like, it's not really – the Ellinger family don't do that. So everything you get from the Ellinger side of things is third-hand information. It's coming from outside of them. And I don't know. I don't – like, DeMarvion's a good example. I feel like there's a better sense of, like, his head psyche. And Sam's different. Sam – I think he's 4 years in and he actually has played his emotional thing pretty tightly to the vest. He just does not, for as much as everybody knows about some hardcore stuff and his dad dying and all the stuff that gets brought up to him, like on a seemingly weekly basis, he does not let us in and say, let's talk about this year, man. Let me tell you about COVID. Let me tell you about COVID and protest and the eyes of Texas. And this year, that's not who he. So who knows? I don't know.
I mean, he's polished, and as far as that is concerned, I mean, he, you know, his interviews, he's learned, you know, the basics of what to say. It's a lot of coach speak.
He's a quarterback too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like he's learned. He has that part down.
Yes. He sees it. You know, look, you start getting crazy Kirk Bowles questions as a freshman. You start learning the game pretty quickly, right? At that point, you're like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing here. All right, got it.
And he's a quarterback, and those dudes typically figure it out fast. And if Sam was 6'4 and had Trevor Lawrence's skill set, like, you'd have no doubt that he could be – the pros would love him. The pros will love him. Like, the makeup of him will go over real big. You know, I just don't know. Like, whereas
here's the crazy thing though. He, you know, everyone's coming out with their little videos. I mean, and he's been asked about the potential of going pro and what he's going to do since the season. I've asked him about it,
but he's a senior. He said he's going, right?
I mean, he's never full. No, he's,
you feel like there's an official moment that still needs to take place.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yes,
I have not been thinking that.
I feel like he has to, you know, he has to say, like, cause he's been asked, you know, that I don't know for sure that he's accepted the Senior Bowl invite. I haven't seen anything that said he did. Maybe I've missed it. That would be probably malpractice on my part. But I feel like that would have been a big enough thing that I would have known that. He's a guy that he's been asked. And what he said was, which was total quarterback coach speak, I haven't thought about it, which I don't know how you don't think about it. Like, I don't know how you just like, wow, there's a possibility I could go pro. Like, this is the first I've heard about. I haven't even thought about it. You've thought about your entire life. Okay. You've thought about this moment your entire life. And the fact that you haven't said it, and the fact that you said, hey, I'll sit down with my family, I'll talk about it afterwards. And then the fact that, we are, you know, we're, you know, a week and change away from a bowl game. The fact that he hasn't really said anything about it is curious to me.
I did not bring my phone up to do the podcast. I'm in my office. If I did, I would right now text my Sam source.
I'd just ask the same question because
my Sam source tells me, but again, like, my Sam source isn't, I wouldn't even call it out if my Sam source was like, for like, you know what I mean? I'm acknowledging that I'm not getting that kind of, when I talk about Sam, my perceptions of Sam come from third hand information. It comes from a friend of the family. So if I lean on some, because that's just, Sam has, like I said, he's a little bit of a different dude, but everything that I've heard is that is not on the table, but I have not asked in enough time that it's worth me sending a message, but I have not been on the same wavelength as you. I guess I've just been of the mindset that his ass is ready to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I would double back. I mean, look, he may, but I, you know.
It's fair. Here's the question.
This is going to be one of these things that if we start going too far, then we're going to have people like bitch at us about like, well, why is this not on the message board? And why am I learning about this on the podcast?
Well, no, I feel like we've had this conversation a million times. Like, I'm not worried that we're broaching ground that people are like, you guys should write about this and not be talking about it in a podcast. I feel like this, the infamous yak,
you know.
Yes.
Got to pay extra for that information.
I don't think we're getting in trouble on December 22nd for having a random Sam Ellinger. Like, on some level, we're bored. We have a press conference. There's no game. I mean, you want to talk about Colorado or do you want to talk about Sam? Right? So, like,
yeah.
I don't think there's any issues here. I think it's interesting that I'm being so open about maybe and not. So here's what I was just about to say, because I think you make a fair point. Sam has not put out a video, right? But I don't even think until yesterday I was expecting that every senior on the team that might want to come back would put out a video. It wasn't until Denzel Okafor and Cade Brewer, like, suddenly. I did not know those were video worthy moments. So
we're learning a lot. Apparently I didn't, this is brand new for me. I thought you just came back. I didn't realize you had to have a hype video to announce you're coming back. And then you have a hype video announced when you're leaving. And so there's a lot of hype
videos. It's good to be in the hype video business, right? You get them either way. And no matter what happens, somebody's in need of a hype
video. Can I make a hype video that says I'll be writing a column for Orange Bloods in January?
Exactly. Or we're talking about war rooms, right? We're not going to do one this week, but we're going to do one next week. Do we need to put out a video for both? A hype video for both?
Yes.
To say we're not and then to say we are? I was going to ask you, have you ever heard of a senior putting out a video or an announcement that's expected to go to confirm that he's expected to go? But then I just would have refuted I would have checkmated or checked myself by the thing that I just mentioned, which was until yesterday, I didn't know that I needed to be looking for constant video. Like Derek Kerstetter, we haven't seen a Kerstetter video, so until we do,
it's still on the table,
even though it's
still on the table, because here's what makes it different than any other year catch is this being a free year.
I know,
I think when you didn't have the free year, it was just you were a senior, you had to go unless you were going to be a grad transfer. But now that we know this year doesn't count towards your eligibility, when you are a senior, you actually do have a decision to make. Do I want to have fun in college for one more year? Or for the majority of people, do I want to start real life and have real bills and all that other type of stuff? And if I was just a regular college player that probably wasn't going to go pro, and I put off that stuff for, another year. Now, but if you're Sam, you have some interesting options. Now, look, he could break
every record in a way they'd never be touched.
At
that point, I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing, catch. At today, Sam Ehlinger, I don't know. I'd have to look and see where he's ranked amongst quarterbacks, right? But that are draft eligible. Maybe he's top 10 within that list. That's probably fair.
Yeah,
but he's probably.
I think he's gonna be a fourth round pick. And yeah, I don't know that coming back improves that at all.
But let's go for the argument's sake, just for the sake of the conversation. The pros, if he did want to come back, right? And by the way, my youngest is up, so the house is all the way alive at this point.
No, it's all good.
If he did want to come back, he could. There would be certain things. One, he could break every record ever. Okay, he still has another shot potentially of trying to win a Big 12 championship or finish what he started. If he didn't have the greatest senior experience, and it was like, man, I just want something better, and I don't really like what this looked like. Sure. And then if you say, look, all right, at one point. I was on the Heisman watch and I'm not. And that ended. But you could potentially say, okay, Justin Fields is gone, Trevor Lawrence is gone. I mean, like all the heavy hitters are gone. Be patient as I talk. Yes, you are down here. Everyone knows it. And so, I can make an argument that there are some positives for him returning, right? First of all, he gets to break every record that there ever was from a passing perspective. So he becomes a statistical, legend. To your points, maybe he didn't have the greatest senior year. And he's like, man, I don't want to end it like that. I would definitely want to do something better than that. Maybe he starts thinking about, the weapons they got. Hey, most of my offensive line is coming back. Like, you can talk yourself into it and say, okay, the NFL will still be there, next year. I entered it this year as a Heisman candidate. I fell off. And so, but there's the potential, like, okay, wait, well, what if I come back? Maybe I am arguably the top quarterback in the country coming back for my fifth year or something. So, I mean, I get it. Now, look, if the guy just wants to go and go pro, go for it. And like you said, maybe he's a fourth round pick, fifth round pick. He's day three, that way. But I can logically say, all right, Sam, it does make sense for you to come back. Now, here's where I think the biggest downfall of him potentially coming back. But Tom Herman wouldn't care, by the way. But because if I'm Tom, I am begging him to come back. Like I am begging him, because look, as much as they, as highly as they think of Hudson Card, catch, if I'm in my do or die year where I know my boss has been trying to find my replacement. They were ready to fire me and the guy said no. And in fact, I hear now from what I read in Jeff Ketchum's war room that they're going to make another run at him in January. So at that point, if I am Herman, I'm saying, hey, these are the benefits of you coming back, because Herman's in do or die. And so I'd much rather go into it with a fifth year senior than, you know, a first year starter. Now the potential downfall catch of something like that is one of those quarterbacks probably transfers. And if anyone's transfers, it's probably going to be Casey Thompson.
Yeah. Casey would be good. But I have no problem with that. If I'm Tom Herman.
Well, yes. Like at that point,
I'd walk him to the bus station. I don't mean to be cold, but if I'm Tom Herman and the deal is I get Sam back for another year, or I might lose a guy that wouldn't be the starter potentially anyway. Like, yeah, man, let's go let's get you back home.
Yes.
You can transfer to Utah.
So if I'm
yes. I mean, I just would.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I'm going to say it bluntly. Would coming back make Sam feel like a loser? Because I'm trying to think about this like from if he was a normal person. And I can remember, I can even throw myself in here. Like, I got into the University of Texas, but I needed an extra semester of Spanish. And I had a choice of, I could take, so what ended up happening was I graduated from McCallum High School in May of 94. And I got into like UT on a provisional. So I had to get another year of Spanish. I was foreign language credit shy to get into UT. So I had the option of going back to my high school. And Aaron Ross did this when he had an issue at Texas. And I always thought he was like the bravest dude in the world. And he's talked about it. Like, he went back to his high school and sat in class to get a credit so that he could get into UT. And he had to sit there with everybody looking at him like, why are you back? You were supposed to go on to bigger and better things, and you're still here. And I remember having that same choice, and it was go back to my high school and just do a semester, and I'm cool. I get into UT in January, or I could go to ACC and take a semester there. And I drove all the way out to Westwood High School, nowhere near my house. Back in the day, there weren't even highways out here. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to ACC on Monday nights for 3 hours and just do it that way. Cause I didn't want to go back to my high school. I didn't want to go back into them doors. And it feel this time, 12 months ago, everybody was like, oh man, this time next year, you're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. And Sam's been here and you're going to be in the NFL. And this was supposed to be the big year. And a bunch of dudes just went to the NFL. And I'm just wondering, would Sam internally, if he was talking to a therapist, say, it doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel like I lost.
It's a fantastic question. This goes back to we don't know his mindset because he doesn't let us in as far as that is concerned. But then,
because I guarantee you, everybody in that locker room knows that Denzel Okafor had no choice. These dudes that are coming back that are putting out videos, the dudes in the program privately are snickering a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's the equivalent of like you and I, you know, interviewing for, you know, a position at ESPN and then getting rejected and then like making an announcement that says, just to let you know, I'm coming back to Orange Bloods. You know, it's like, well,
I mean, we're talking most because what we're talking about, Sam is different.
Yeah.
Every other dude that's made an announcement so far, like other than DeMarvion Overshown, Texas fans have been like, you should be happy that Denzel Okafor is coming back. And people are like, how should I react to this? I don't know. And the people are like, Cade Brewer. And you've said the same thing. Like, hey, Cade Brewer is a plus unless he gets in the way. And so I don't know. Like, it's a little weird because Sam is so high profile and he would be making, Is there anybody else in the country yet that would fall into the category of household name has decided to kick it one more year in part? And this is the part that the quiet part, he failed. That senior season, that sucked. Didn't like it. Don't like the way it ended. One try again. Because that would be it.
Yeah. But it wouldn't, but catcher wouldn't be 100% negative in that regard, because it would be a second chance to do something that you want to do. I mean, catch.
It's a very hippie. And I love that answer, by the way. Like, but look, at the end of the day, onward, you'll win me over, because I'm all about romantic endings. And I'm all about, like, all I would need to hear is, like, I think it'll make me happy. And I'd be like, oh, well, come on back then. Come on back. I don't know.
We're never going to be at the Sam Ellinger Steakhouse here in Austin.
One day Sam will wish he had another year. There will be a time in his life when Sam Ellinger gets to do the thing that when you're 40, you always say, oh, my God. If I could go back and be Sam, be the Sam of, I could be 22-year-old Sam again. Like, 40-year-old Sam will wish he could do this again. But, you know, for reasons that 22-year-old Sam just can't understand yet.
Yes. We've all been there. We've all been there.
So, like, again, you can talk me into it easily, Anwar, for a million reasons. I can't put myself into the mindset of someone like Sam who's been building to this. I guess the closest thing I could compare it to, and I hate to go sexual on this, but it would be like a guy who's about to lose his virginity and builds it up and builds it up and builds it up and builds it up. And it's like prom night. And then, you know, like, your girlfriend's told you this is the night. And then it's like, oh no. Hey, what do you think about next year at prom? Cause I'm a junior and I'll be a senior next year. I don't know. That's a terrible analogy, but like, I'm trying to imagine what is relatable in life where you're like, just wait 12 more months. There aren't many things that I think a 22-year-old guy would hear wait 12 months for that he would feel such potential angst over. This and sex, money. Like, there's only a few things in the world where I think that you'd be like, I got to wait 12 months, and there'd be a reaction, right? If you told me I had to wait 12 months for a vaccine, I'd be like, that sucks. But I'd be okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get one in 12 months or not. Like, I don't know how that's going to work out. It sucks, but okay. But, you know, I'm trying to think, what could you tell me that I have to wait 12 more months for that I've had some anxiety over that, because I got to believe Sam wants to get the hell out of here, man. This can't have been fun.
I mean, it can't. And listen, again, I wouldn't fault him if he says, like, I want out. I've done what I need to do. I'm here. They've got some young guys here, you know, so on and so forth. I don't know.
I'll play Arena League if that's what it means. Like, if he's ready, if he's just ready to get the yes.
But he can also just listen. He can also just say, hey, I just want to change. I just want to do over. It wasn't fun. I could play better than that. I was probably a little bit more hurt than I've let on, because we know he's always playing with something. You know, I was a little bit more hurt than I let on, missed some practices. And, you know, as a guy who's a Longhorn fan for so many years, I just don't want to go out like that.
Last question from me, because I know we got to wrap this thing up.
Yes, that's good.
My cynicism about Sam as a player, is it fair? Like, my initial reaction to this was, I feel like I know, but I was saying this more through the prism of, I don't think his NFL stock can get higher. Right. I think he is. And I think I think Sam Ellinger is going to be drafted. I think I just said, I thought he was a fourth round ish kind of a guy. I don't know that his ceiling is above that, but I can see that there's such a quarterback play, especially good young quarterback play. I mean, quarterbacks are worth their weight in gold. So I think someone will take a flyer on him. And then he could probably play like a dozen years as a backup potentially and play golf every day and make his pension and just then live the life. Like, that could happen. But my, there's a part of me that just thinks as a college football player, he's excellent, but I don't know that I can, this was, my cynicism is built around the fact that for the last 2 years, I've gone into those years thinking he was going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12 and take steps. And it hasn't happened. He has good games. He has good weak stretches. But if there's anything, I mean, Sam has actually turned out to be historically unchanged for most of his career. He has since the end of his sophomore year, he has been exactly who he's been to a T. Hadn't really gotten better. Wouldn't say it's gotten worse. He's just who he is. And I guess my hesitation initially was, I don't know that he needs a third year to be exactly the same guy that he's been the day that he beat Georgia. Let me ask you, you think he's any better than the night that he beat Georgia and stepped up on that stage and said, we're back? Do you think Sam's better at all from that night? Do you see a quarterback that's evolved at all?
I mean, in some ways, but not the accuracy. Like the big thing would be for me, the accuracy is the tough part. You know, but he was accurate. What's weird is because he was really accurate. I mean, he went 10 games, I believe, without throwing an interception. So there was a lot of accuracy that was in there. It was like, it's there. It was just in spurts, you know, with him. But yeah, the question is, could he get better? There's definitely room for improvement. The question is, where does that improvement occur? Does that improvement occur with trying to do it another year of college or not? But let me just throw this in before we go. I looked on walterfootball.com. This, you know, one of the sites. It's good for information, right? So I looked at their quarterback rankings, okay? Trevor Lawrence is number one. Justin Fields, number two. They've got Trey Lance from North Dakota State at number three. They have Zach Wilson from BYU at four. They have Kyle Trask from Florida.
I think all five of those guys are probably going to be first-round picks.
Okay. We've got Mac Jones from at Alabama at six. You got Jamie Newman, Georgia, at seven. They've got Kellen Mond from A&M at eighth. They have Brock Purdy at ninth, and they got Sam at 10th. Now, it's just one publication, so there's nothing to overreact to. But a lot of these publications are pretty similar in their rankings. I think sometimes one just looks at the other. No one wants to look too crazy.
So let me tell you what I heard real quick.
Okay.
I heard five or six first-round picks. Mm-hmm. It used to be one of them years where everybody's getting themselves a quarterback. And then I think you have who was the guy? Matt Jones?
Yes.
No, Max, you're talking about Alabama. Who's number seven?
Mac Jones was number six.
Yes.
Then at seven was Jamie Newberg.
Yeah, right there. Georgia. So you're going to have six guys go in the top 35. And then you're going to have one in like the next two rounds. And then I think starting in the fourth round, someone will take one of those three quarterbacks really early. And then the next couple of guys will go off the board. That's what I think.
And Kellerman is, you know, when you're playing for a winning team, that becomes very sexy, you know, at that point.
He could be Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, he could be just a guy that just needs the right opportunity and with the right pro team. And mm-hmm. Kellerman's profile, I think, he's not the same guy as a Dak Prescott. I'm certainly not predicting that he's going to be Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, though, was a fourth round guy.
Yeah. So then you have Brock Purdy, you know,
fourth round guy.
Yeah, fourth to sixth round, and they have Sam as a fourth through sixth rounder as well. The guy right underneath him is Tanner Morgan from Minnesota. They have him as a sixth round through free agent, and KJ Costello at 12 from Mississippi State at sixth through free agent. So I say it all to say, if you're a day three guy, it's in Sam, and you feel like I could do better than that. And I don't want to play that game, because once I start getting to day three, you know, it's just about what team feels like they want to develop you. And you know, so now you're fourth round could easily be fifth to sixth. like easily. I mean, it's so easy. So at that point, just don't know. It maybe just say, you know what? I'd rather increase my chances. I don't, money's not an issue for us as a family. I got my education.
What do you think Sam will hide at the combine?
What I think he'll do what at the combine?
What will his official height at the combine be?
I think he'll be a good 6'1"-ish or so, maybe, maybe about 6'2". I've stood next to him. He's got legit height on it.
No, that's why I asked you. You're a tall guy.
Yeah. And I'm 6'2". So I've been pretty close to eye to eye with him. So I think he's got legit, 6'1", 6'2" height.
No, that's good. He won't be punished for that. Because if he were a top round guy, that'd be an issue. But there's a blemish on everybody by the time you get to where I think he's going to be drafted. And Sam Ehlinger, Sam could go in the third round in a world where somebody falls in love with his profile and is like, that's where we want to make the run. Like, I get it. But I think for me, Sam's a fourth round guy. I think Kellen Mond's a fourth round guy. I think Brock Purdy's a fourth round guy. And I'm not going to argue with their order. It won't matter. It'll come down to, the Cowboys weren't going to draft Dak Prescott. The guy they wanted got drafted first. Mm-hmm, they're like, okay, well, we'll take the next guy on the board. And I think in the fourth round, that's where his profile fits. And he'll go somewhere there. And my whole thing is, if he comes back, don't do it for the NFL, because he's going to be a fourth round pick next year. Even in a year where he goes for even if he were to add 30 points to his quarterback efficiency rating and do that thing that I've been waiting to see him do, I don't think it improves his. I think he is who he is as a pro prospect. And I think he thinks of himself as a pro prospect. But I think your question has given us. It turned into a really interesting second half of the podcast that I did not think existed. So as we sign off and you go be a dad and I go be a dad, why don't I just say, you have anything else? Because I'm just going to segue us out for the sake of time.
Just tell them Merry Christmas.
Good man. Merry Christmas, everybody. We will talk to you on the other side of the holiday break, but be good to your loved ones. Love on them. Hug them. Tell them you love them. It's been a hard year. And, a little bit of love goes a long way. Until next time, thanks for listening this far deep into the podcast. Later. All right, my man. Good stuff. I wasn't ready for that, but that was a good conversation.
Yeah, no, and we're still recording.